Welcome to Survival Mode Disrupted, the podcast for those who are done performing, done people pleasing, and done living life on autopilot. I'm your host, Leticia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and this is where we create disruptive, unapologetic transformations for those who are ready to exit survival mode and reclaim their power. Every episode is your permission slip to burn the rule book, break the cycle, and finally build a life that feels like yours. So let's disrupt everything that's holding you back and start living life on your own terms. This is your trigger warning. This podcast is raw. It is real, and it doesn't sugarcoat what it means to survive trauma, abuse, mental health battles, or even the aftermath of living in survival mode for too damn long. What you hear on Survival Mode Disrupted includes unfiltered stories, graphic details, and a vulnerable truth that may trigger some of the audience. Please prioritize your emotional safety. If something feels too heavy, pause. Breathe. Come back when you're ready or not at all. Your healing is yours to honor. These episodes are based on lived experience, not therapy sessions or clinical advice. Listening does not replace mental health treatment or constitute a coach-client relationship. If you're in crisis, please seek immediate help from a licensed professional or contact your local emergency services. This space is built with care, but it's also built for truth and built for disruption. Take what you need, leave the rest, and most of all, trust yourself. If this podcast speaks to your soul, you don't have to do this work alone. Feel free to join our free Facebook community for high-achieving women ready to break cycles and heal out loud. Join us at Disrupting Survival Mode on Facebook. Or grab the book that started this movement, Exiting Survival Mode, a raw step-by-step guide to help you identify, release, and rebuild from the survival patterns that have been keeping you stuck. Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted. I am your host, Leticia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and today we have Lena. Lena, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi, Leticia. Thank you so much for having me. So my name is Lena Thompson. I'm a speaker, and I also consult on emotional intelligence, and I'm just really grateful to be here today and share my story. Hopefully, which can help some people who struggle with anxiety and depression and also burnout, because it's something just so close to my heart.
I am excited to have you here today and to learn a little bit more about your story, because you and I have had conversations in the past, and I was really excited when you reached out to get on Survival Mode Disrupted. So how would you describe Survival Mode?
Survival to me is living with the coping mechanisms, surrounding ourselves with people, situation, environments where we don't feel the triggers, constantly looking for whether it's another partner or another friendship or another job, just not to feel whatever the feelings that come up, inadequate, unseen, unloved, unsafe, holding the outer world responsible. And it's a really, really tough life to live because it puts a lot of pressure on your nervous system. And you're constantly like on that hypervigilance, and you just can't really relax and be truly free yourself.
The inability to relax is really difficult, especially when you're in survival mode for such a long period of time, which is one of the reasons why I started this podcast, so that we can like uncover what it really looks like in hopes that people can get awareness and then also seek help. So why don't you tell us your story to and through survival mode?
Where do I even start? You know, I always thought my childhood was normal, but about 3.5 years ago, something happened with me where all of my fears, all my doubts, all my insecurities, everything surfaced at once. And back then, I didn't really understand what was happening. All I could see, all I could feel was this Fear, but fear like and despair and grief like I've never felt before. It wasn't just a bad mood, but it was just darkness where I would lie on a couch and I have no energy to show up, not even energy to cook food or anything like that. And I obviously got very, very still because there was nothing else to do. I literally thought maybe I need to go to seek psychiatric hospital. I've never experienced anything like that before. And luckily by that stage, I was kind of already meditating. I was, practicing certain things, certain tools. And I started receiving these messages, which back then didn't really make sense, or more like, oh, I've gone totally crazy. And the messages were, it was all about my energy, that everything responds to my energy, and I need to purify my energy. I didn't understand it back then. But what I did understand is that it's some sort of like a spiritual awakening that is happening and to bring me more into alignment with who I truly am. So all of the false things, everything I've been identifying with and seeing, the world through this filter that I've created, that needed to dissolve. So that's the message I kind of understood. And I started doing a lot of research. And then obviously, through the journey, I started connecting with certain memories in my childhood that were actually causing me now as an adult to relive them. And a lot of those experiences were extremely frightening and scary. And back then I just suppressed them because I didn't have that awareness to process them or to express my emotions. So I've suppressed so much over the years, and now it's all kind of started coming up to the surface. So, and since then it's been quite an intense journey.
What has you mentioned, protecting your energy and being mindful of your energy, but what did that really look like?
What did it really look like? Well, that's a really good question. Back then I didn't know. All I was started doing is researching more information, and it was just how I came across ego death, spiritual awakening, and things like that. I already knew I was kind of like going through something like that, but that was just the next level. And protecting my energy for me now really means prioritizing me, what's not in alignment with me, what's, am I in integrity with what I'm saying, with what I'm doing, who drains my energy, becoming super, super clear. Sometimes, like, I don't go out a lot. And I'm also very, like, sensitive, very selective as to where I go out and who I spend my time to because everything is energy. And obviously, there are some certain people, you can't not spend time with them. So I try to minimize it. And whenever I feel these emotions or anything heavy coming up, I also make a very conscious effort not to run away from them, but to actually sit and feel them. Because as we know, emotion is energy in motion. And all of these emotions that we have been suppressing, whether it was a big trauma or a small trauma, it doesn't matter. We all have certain traumas. So everything we have suppressed is that stagnant energy that's keeping us really out of alignment with our values, with our purpose, with living a life that we truly want to live. So for me, after investing multiple five figures and coaching different tools, different practices, meditation, breath work, I know that the only thing that really purifies, that only cleanses my energy is actually to go through that emotion. Like right now, I'm speaking with you and I had this massive trigger about an hour ago, and I'm literally feeling that burning sensation. And I'm just allowing that to move through me. So that's what my purification, purifying, cleansing my energy looks like. It's not always comfortable, but I know that once it passes through me, there's going to be more ease, there's going to be more flow, there's going to be more alignments, there's going to be more discernments, it's going to be kind of a more upgraded version of me.
What I find interesting is that people often are very unaware of their energy and in the energy fields that they are allowing themselves to be around. I remember at one point in time during my healing journey, someone pointed out to me, it's like you're around a bunch of energy vampires. And I never recognized it until that very moment. because it was just so normal to be in these environments and to feel the way that I felt after leaving them. I just thought, I don't know, I'm an empath. I don't know. I'm also an introvert. So, yeah, that's why I feel drained a bit. But once it was brought to my attention, it allowed me to really start taking notes and analyzing the energy that I was around and how certain people made me feel or certain things made me feel. And if I didn't like that feeling, I really committed to removing that energy as much as I could out of my environment. And oftentimes people say, well, I can't, if I'm, it's someone at work, like it's someone that I have to deal with. Lucky for me, I've worked from home for the last, I don't know, nearly 10 years. So I've never really had to interact with people in the last decade, with no choice. Now everyone that I interact with are people who I choose to interact with. But had I not understood how to protect my energy and how to be mindful and analyze the energy around me, I think I would have stayed stuck much longer, because people are draining. Situations are draining. And oftentimes it's because people are also operating in survival mode or from a very unhealed place, which then creates this chaos around them that they tend to put onto other people.
Yeah, and I mean, also, it's something you really have to be mindful of, I think. If this person is pushing certain buttons in me, then the question needs to be, is this my thing, right? Is this my thing to heal? Because there's nothing wrong maybe with a person. There might be, let's say just on a different time schedule. So maybe you're somebody very punctual. They really like to take their time. For them, time is not a priority. So they're constantly late, and that makes you like whatever, frustrated or fearful or anxious. So the question is it really them? Because that's who they are. They don't mean harm. They're a great person, but it's triggering something within you. So when you actually go back, because we're not reacting to the person, we're not reacting to the situation, we're reacting to a memory. And a memory that has probably happened to us when we're 5, 10 years old. So if let's say your parents, like my parents, I would get punished, for example, if I wasn't home on time. Everything had to be done at a certain time on a schedule. So I'm very, it's almost like unhealthy obsession with on time. And if somebody's late, I really take it extremely personally. So it's actually not that person's issue, it's my issue. So if I had to start removing people who are late or people that maybe, challenge me and all of a sudden I feel inadequate, but again, is it their issue? Or I go back to my childhood when, let's say, my mom was quizzing me on maths and I couldn't answer and I felt like so inadequate and I wanted to prove myself to her. So is it that really person or is it I'm reacting to memory? And most of the time, almost always, we are reacting to memories. So yeah, of course, there are certain people that are just unhealthy for us, and that's one thing. But then there is another person who just pushes the buttons, but it's our responsibility to heal these emotions, and a person is actually gifts. So I think we really got to be very careful, who we're removing out of our lives and for what reasons.
I agree to some extent. If I'm constantly triggered, you gotta go until I work on it myself. And that's just me prioritizing my needs in that moment. You know what I mean? And a lot of people are resistant to that because we also are conditioned to keep people around us comfortable while we are uncomfortable. And I don't believe in that anymore. In any instance, I mean, the only people that at this point in time that can make me uncomfortable and still stay are my kids. Everybody
We
else,
can't give them away.
exactly. I mean, I could, but I won't. But
That's
everybody
true.
else is free game just because I prioritize my peace more than relationships in this moment. And that could change, right? But
Yeah.
it's where I am right now is I need to focus on me and my desires and what I need out of life, and everything else is secondary to that outside of my kids. When I talk about accident survival mode, I often talk about it in three phases. I talk about the first phase is self-awareness. We cannot change what we cannot see. And you kind of spoke to that, right? Because we have to also examine our triggers, because if we don't, then we're constantly triggered and then we're in this state of heightened fight, flight, or fawn or freeze sometimes. And we also need to be aware of our emotions. And you spoke to that, you know, oftentimes we don't know how to process our emotions. We don't, we have them, they're big. We are often conditioned to stuff, compartmentalize, pack it away, and just move on. Or we give into the emotion, and that is where we end up seeing like big behaviors behind how we feel. So that's the first phase. The second phase is reprogramming. Oftentimes we have narratives that we've held on from childhood. Like you said, we have these memories that will trigger us in someone else's behavior. I do that all the time. I'm sorry. It just took me back to my kids. I'm always like
Yeah, it's like.
I'll cut this part out, but I was like, is that what I look like? Because your eyes got a little bigger.
I know, right? It's like you can ask, like, not to come in, but, anyways.
Yeah, I'll cut this part out. So,
That's cool. It's all raw and authentic. So, you know,
exactly.
it's all good.
The reprogramming, you know, being able to challenge the narratives, challenge the things from the past that we have allowed to continue to show up today. And then the third is a reinvention. And oftentimes people are a little bit resistant to that reinvention. I hear a lot in this space that, especially in the trauma space, that you can go back to who you were before the trauma. And I don't believe that. And I will explain why after I ask you what you believe. But do you believe we can go back?
I don't really know. I don't know. I think, you know, we carry trauma from our past lives. That's what I believe, that it's a generational trauma. So, I mean, you know, I come from Ukrainian Jews family. They survived famine. They survived World War II. They survived concentration camps. You know, my other side is Russian, kind of Mongolian. So that goes to a different extreme. I lived through war in Afghanistan, where I observed dead soldiers literally being transported under my house over and over in trucks. I've lived through a Gulf War in Israel, where we had to put on gas masks every night because of the gas attacks. I lived through a Hannibal running around the streets of Rostov-on-Don, where I used to live, killing people, making mince pies out of them, where my parents worked. So there is so much trauma I'm aware of. Obviously, back then I was just always like on alert and, like, you know, in this kind of like mode. And considering all this accumulated together, I don't believe, I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm not there yet, you know, but I do believe that there comes a time where I can actually regulate my nervous system and I may still react. The emotion may still come up, but I'm not going to be, let's say, reacting for hours, maybe even days. I can actually transform it and shift it within minutes. So that, I believe, is totally possible.
I do believe like the way that we respond is possible, but I don't like my first conscious memory of trauma outside of what was passed on through generations was when I was about five. I don't think that I can go back to the person I was at five at this stage. And the reason I don't believe that is oftentimes trauma changes who we are. We often pick up a survival identity. Many of us pick up survival identities and then coin them as part of our personalities, you know, perfectionism, overachieving, the list can go on. But I feel like when we start healing and when we start actively navigating the residual impact of trauma, the part of us that evolve to who we are in order to survive essentially changes. And the person we were before the trauma has learned so many lessons that going back is almost like removing the lesson, right? Like it's like there's videos on like YouTube and TikTok about you can put like an wine in a cup and the healing element is the water. And they illustrate how long it actually takes for the liquid in the cup to be clear. And I feel like with everything that we experience, we are changed at a core level that it requires a reinvention. And I'm not saying that we can't pick up the positive elements of ourselves that were present before the trauma, but I just don't think that we go back to who we were because, in essence, we've changed.
Yeah, well, obviously, I mean, we can't go to consciousness of a 5-year-old before the trauma happened. It's not possible. Every time we transcend another pattern, another limiting belief, because we know it's the belief that caused those emotions, because a thought that triggers an emotion, a belief is just a thought we've thought of so many times. So every time we transcend them, we clear our energy. So what happens? Our consciousness expands. This entire journey is about us getting more aware, more conscious, holding more light, becoming closer to, well, I believe, to creator, to God, whatever, in our consciousness, in our awareness. And how do we do that? We do that by burning literally through these patterns, by dismantling what was never ours. And I love how in Kabbalah they say, that we all have a tikkun. Tikkun is a spiritual baggage that our soul came here to correct. And this is the reason why we chose our parents. So we don't have abandonment issues because of our parents. We have our parents because we had abandonment issues. So the soul comes here to heal abandonments. So it chooses parents who will abandon you, maybe not physically, but emotionally. It chooses partners who will abandon you until you've learned your lesson, until you've transcended the patterns, and then you move on. So no, I don't believe we can ever go, before, but maybe we can regulate our nervous system to the way, let's say, it was regulated before we became kind of aware of all of the traumas.
I do agree with that. And I always say, if at first you don't learn the lesson, life will teach you over and over until you do. And I think that's a huge part of life. Like there is a curriculum for each and every one of us that is unique. And our goal is to learn the lessons, hopefully learn them fast, but we see it in repeated patterns, right? Like entering into relationships and then you find in that while the outward appearance looks different, the inner appearance is exactly the same as the one before and the one before that. And that is a great example of like life teaching you the same lesson over and over until you finally get it. Can you hear me?
Yeah, it just says your internet is breaking up. Yeah, you're back now.
Okay. Yeah, I was just saying, life will teach us over and over until we get it. What would you say was your biggest
Oh, for sure.
aha? Yes, definitely. What would you say was your biggest aha moment d along your healing journey outside of the protection of energy?
Just stop living in a potential. So that was my big thing, being, let's say, in a relationship, whether it's whatever, business, romantic, doesn't really matter, to stop thinking or to stop connecting to the version of reality of what it could be. Yeah, it could be like that, but I needed to start looking at practically, was this alignment with my values? Was this person showing up for me the way I needed them to show up? So many questions, am I integrity with what I want and things like that? Because what I used to do is like thinking, well, one day this could change. One day it could be like this. If I do X, Y, Z, this could change. And again, I mean, I believe, and the quantum physics shows us we do live in a multidimensional universe. There's ma many different realities that are available for us right now. But the reality I'm right now and I'm looking at, that is what I stopped doing. I stopped looking at the different multiple versions of the situation. It's like, is this situation healthy for me? Because at the end of the day, when it's not really healthy, when it's not in alignment, and I try to make it to be something that it is not, it just drains my energy so much that I can't really show up for me. I can't show up for my business. I can't show up for anything in my life. And actually, I'm getting so much clarity voicing this out to you right now.
Yes, well, I'm happy for the clarity that you're getting as you talk it through, because I mean, it clarity can definitely come in unexpected places. So what would you say is the hardest part of the reprogramming element of healing?
Well, I mean, you've got to go against yourself completely, right? You've been giving certain beliefs that you hold about yourself and the moral and the world and the others. You've been feeding it so much of your energy for 30, 40 years. And now those beliefs start to crumble. You begin to see, oh, hang on, what I was told about myself or who I am, that isn't true. So you kind of like start dissociating with these beliefs, that model, that structure no longer supporting you, but yet the new version hasn't anchored yet. And it becomes like some kind of a dissociation where the old self constantly tries to pull you back. That voice, you know, that you used to believe, and like all of the narrative that you used to buy into, it still pulls you back. And then you like catch yourself, you go, wow, but that's no longer me. And then you've got to start realigning to that version. So I just find it takes a lot of presence, a lot of consciousness, and a lot of energy. Sometimes, like, you know, I would spend 3, 4, 5 hours a day. Like, I can't even, let's say, maybe do what I thought I would wanted to do. I used to be such a big doer, you know, it's like, I've got a plan, I'm going to do this, this. Now it's like, well, my energy is actually going towards not something what I wanted to go to. So let me realign, let me reset my energy. So I just find sometimes it's like one step forward, two step back. But I guess, you know, this is what this journey looks like. So I think the hardest thing for me was not being able to do things as I used to do and really start prioritizing what am I feeling? What am I excited? What I, you know, what feels aligned rather than what I need to accomplish. And that was a very big mindset shift for me, and it's been a big struggle.
I can relate to that because I've never really had to, I never questioned anything. I just did like you. Like I went along my process. I had probably a long list of things to do. I didn't know what peace was at one point in time. I never stopped. And to then be really sit in my emotions. It was either one of two things for me when it came to how I process emotions. It was either my default, which was anger, and everything else kind of just got packed away for another day. And then, you know, that not other day doesn't come until it all hits you one time, and then you're forced to process. But then without tools, I didn't know how to process, which then would literally put me in a state of mind where I think you spoke to it, not being able to get out of bed, like just feeling so f overwhelmed, and it wasn't depression for me. It was just I had too many emotions that I didn't know how to process, and it just stopped me. It was a odd experience, but I was just paused without any energy to do anything else but process. And that was scary because I hadn't been taught how to process, and all of these things coming up from decades ago. Like I'm now seeing the connective lines to where I am today because of all the stuff that I compartmentalized, I stuffed away and went on with my day. And I think one of the things that in society that we could benefit from is a solid understanding of how to process our emotions from a very young age. I homeschool my kids,
Oh,
and one of
absolutely.
the things that I did before I taught them ABCs and 1, 2, 3s was their emotions. That was the very first thing. My
It's a
1-year-old, we were
gift. I
sitting
think it's
down,
the
and
gift.
yeah, and I have this
It's a gift.
video of my 2-year-old one day, and she had gotten in trouble, She was punished and she was mad. And her dad was like, "Well, what's wrong with you?" And she says, "I'm frustrated. I'm mad. I'm angry." And it's a funny video, but I celebrated so much that at two, she was able to articulate with such clarity how she was feeling. There are 54-year-olds that cannot do that. And it's sad because I think it strips us of our ability to fully live and appreciate life.
Exactly. Being able to name the emotion is just so important. And not even that, but also often when we feel that frustration, we feel that anger, we blame the other person for that. But all they're doing, they're just literally holding the mirror, they're showing us where we are not yet free within ourselves. And I'm not saying that that's the right person. Of course, you can release the person, but emotion is yours. You are creating it. So while you don't have to hang around with them, but you do need to examine where is this fear coming from? Where is this frustration coming from? And allow yourself to feel it. You know, I said to my daughter, I said to her, I'm not to be here to be your friend. I said, but I'm here to help you feel all your emotions. You know, last night, actually, I could feel something big was moving through her. And I think she's got like a fear of death, which is something I had in my childhood, except I wasn't even allowed to talk about it. And it will come through her and it will shake her body. And I will just hold her and just allow her to empty out completely. Whereas before, I'm like, why are you crying? Oh, don't cry. You know how we normally do this. It's like we're saying that whatever she's, you know, you're feeling isn't all right. But I'm like, empty it all out, let it out. And when I feel like she's on empty, then we do a bit of breath work and we just repeat, I'm safe, I'm loved, I'm supported, and we'll just sit for a bit. And literally within a few minutes, the whole emotion shifts, you know? And a lot of us, exactly like you said, we were not taught that. Because, like, if I wanted to cry when I was young, like, why are you crying? Stop crying. I'll give you something to cry about, you know? And I was never allowed to cry. Even when I was laughing so much, my grandmother would say, if you laugh too much, you're going to end up crying. That was a, like, saying in Russia. And it was like really weird. So we were used to like stifling our emotions, but then something like an event comes to our lives and triggers those emotions, the traumas to come up. And because we haven't learned how to feel them, it becomes extremely scary and overwhelming. But when you begin to realize, yeah, it's just an energy moving through my body, that no matter what happens, I will be okay. I'm safe. I'm literally physically safe. It's just an emotion moving through me. And just sitting with that part of you that is hurt, hasn't been validated, hasn't been appreciated, and giving yourself so much compassion rather than judging it, that's how you start integrating those parts and literally bringing yourself into wholeness. But it's a process, it's a journey. It doesn't happen overnight. I wish it would.
I know. I wish we could just click our fingers and everything fall into place. I have thoroughly enjoyed this conversation. So tell us now how we can connect with you online.
Yeah, so mostly LinkedIn, Lena Thompson, just find me on LinkedIn. And I also have a YouTube channel, so that's probably going to be the easiest.
Okay, well, I'll make sure that information is in the show notes. But before we wrap it all up, Lena, give us one key takeaway for the audience to action.
Yeah, I mean, I think I already touched on it, but I just want to bring it out once again that if you're experiencing frustration or anger or any of these heavy emotions that keep on coming up in your relationships. Maybe it's the fear of abandonment or fear of not good enough or needing to people please. Instead of trying to change the environment, the circumstances, or blaming yourself and saying to yourself, I shouldn't do this anymore, I should know better than this, sit with that emotion. Feel that emotion fully. Allow it to move through you because the only way out is through. You've got to feel in order to heal it. And it may come up again and again, but eventually it's not going to have that hold over you anymore. So you will stop. You will not need to go keep on looking for new jobs or new friendships or new partners or new something else to avoid feeling that. Instead, you'll find yourself in a situation where it doesn't trigger you anymore. And the only thing that you ask yourself is this really alignment with what I truly want? But they're going to come from a place of being grounded and clear in who you are rather than being in a place of fear or self-despise or self-judgment. So, feeling is the healing.
Yes, feeling is the heat, and I love that. Matter of fact, that's probably going to end up being the title of this episode. So, thank you so much for your time on
Good one.
survival.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for your time on Survival Mode Disrupted. And audience, thank you for catching another episode. I just want to remind you, you were not built to break, but you damn sure were not built to just survive. Disrupt the cycle, reclaim your life, and thrive on your own terms. And I will see you next week. Once again, thank you for joining another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted, hosted by the Survival Mode Disruptor, Letitia. You didn't land here by accident. This conversation, it probably cracked something open on purpose. Because survival mode isn't just a phase, it's a pattern, an identity, a prison masked as strength. But here's the truth: you're not broken. You're just unfinished. So if something stirred in you today, don't ignore it. Don't numb it. Move with it. And I want to once again invite you to join Disrupting Survival Mode, the Facebook community where healing is loud and messy and real. I also want to invite you to buy my book, The Survival Mode Exit Plan, because your breakthrough deserves a blueprint. And if you felt seen today, be sure to share this episode with someone who needs to hear it. Like, subscribe, and drop a review. That's how we amplify the voices that need to be heard. And remember, this isn't about fixing yourself. This is about finding yourself again beneath the rubble. Until next time, choose ease, choose power, choose you. This is Survival Mode Disrupted. Let's keep shaking shit up.